In November, a 19-year-old DoorDash food delivery worker, Antawani Wright Davis, was killed on the job after being run over by a backing-up dump truck while riding his delivery bike. His family has started a GoFundMe page, we'll link you, to help pay for funeral expenses because Antawani had no benefits. He had no safety training, no equipment. His family was not eligible for any kind of workers' compensation because he was part of the gig economy. Workers' advocates and some state departments of labor are taking a closer look at employees who often work full or part-time, but only after signing agreements that free their employers from any responsibility for their safety. Jessica Martinez is co-executive director of the National Council for Occupational Safety and Health. It's also known as COSH. Most states also have a local branch of COSH. She joins us from San Diego. Jessica, welcome.
Thank you so much for having me.
These are the jobs in which an employee interacts with a client digitally. We think of Uber or Lyft, you know, some of the car services. So what is happening?
So COSH groups across the country work with some of the most vulnerable worker populations, including temp and gig workers. Workers who work in the gig economy are making money but missing out on other standard benefits of having jobs. Healthcare primarily, but also paid sick leave and workers' compensation as well. Some of the issues is that companies want to meet the demand for flexible labor with minimum employer responsibilities. We're talking about no social security taxes, no health or retirement benefits, no severance when employees are laid off. It's essentially the Tinder economy. When temp worker is done with his or her shift, the boss swipes left and claims to have no further obligation.
Well, but, you know, it works two ways. We've talked about this many times before in the program that many of these employees want this. They don't want to be tied to employer. They might be young. They're not yet thinking, wait, I'm not paying into a pension or a savings account. They want this because it gives them freedom.
It does give them freedom, but one thing to note is that once they sign agreements, essentially workers in the gig economy are signing away their rights that prohibit them from exercising their worker rights. They sign away their rights and ability to speak up publicly for a host of issues like sexual harassment. Some, if not most, agreements do not allow workers to pursue civil action if their rights are violated and must go into arbitration.
Is that legal, by the way, that a lot of these workers have to sign these agreements?
In some states, there's no really legal or legislation that protects temp workers. The COSH groups are working with several local organizations, temp worker advocates, to precisely pass bills and laws that protect workers from these agreements. One is MassCosh, for instance, that passed the Temp Worker Bill of Rights, allowing workers to essentially have access to some of the most basic information, such as the name of the agency, the worksite employer, type of work to be done, anticipated wages, right to workers' comp, how to reach the Department of Labor standards. Again, this seems like basic information any worker would have about his or her job, but many temp workers don't have this. And thanks to the hard efforts of MassCosh as a major advocate for this legislation, the Massachusetts Temp Worker Right to Know Act in 2012 passed. California, with the support of WorkSafe and SoCalCosh, also launched a campaign and got AB 1897 signed into law in 2014. It requires companies securing workers through labor contractors or temp agencies must take responsibility to ensure that workers are getting paid, are provided with a safe work environment, and that contractor is paying state and federal taxes.
We know also that in 2016, the Washington State Department of Labor and Industries ordered the San Francisco delivery company Postdates to retroactively pay 2 years' worth of workman compensation premiums. So, you know, states are stepping up and getting involved. But you mentioned how many of these gig economy, true gig economy workers, as well as some of these temporary workers who come through temporary agencies, are working across several platforms. They're doing several different jobs. That's one of the problems, isn't it? I mean, how do you take a benefit from one place to another?
Correct. It's very easy to lose track of workers, and also a lot of workers and simple employer responsibilities go through the cracks. And what we're doing is pushing for government agencies that protect worker rights, such as OSHA, the Occupational Safety and Health Administration, to push for duo employer responsibility, meaning that both the staffing and the host employer on site has responsibility to maintain key records to protect the workers' rights.
Well, just hold on 1 second, because when you say staffing and on site, so this is, again, an example. You're talking about agencies. So if these would be temp agencies and the people that they hire out people to.
Yes.
So they'd both have to keep records.
Both have to keep records in addition to have legal responsibility to protect the worker, both in safety and also making in wages and ensuring proper worker protections.
Well, we know some other states, New York and Washington, are thinking of the online platforms, the pure gig economy companies. We keep mentioning Uber and Lyft. They'd have to pay into workers' benefit funds so that there would be a pot of money?
Yes, there are some states that are moving towards those efforts. Our KOSH groups are particularly focused on passing legislation that's more comprehensive in terms of workers' rights that cover health and safety and prevents wage theft. We are aware that a couple of states, as you mentioned, New York and Washington, are pushing for legislation that charges a fee on gig economy transactions and put money into an independent fund to provide portable benefits that workers can access even if he or she moves from job to job. For instance, the Independent Drivers Guild is pressing this with New York City officials. Washington and New Jersey legislators introduced a bill. Virginia and Washington reps introduced a bill in Congress to issue grants for pilot programs to create portable benefits. And then states are also taking action addressing safety, wage theft, and other issues related to temp workers. A key part of our work is to advocate for strict enforcement of current safety laws, publicize workplace injuries, hazards, and fatalities, and advocate for new laws to create safer workplaces.
Look, you say safer. These are dangerous jobs. We forget how dangerous some of the gig economy jobs are. There are stats that taxi drivers and chauffeurs are killed on the job at a rate 5 times higher than the average for all workers. And after the young DoorDash delivery worker, Adewani Wright Davis, died, people were reminded that many in the gig economy are very young and they are not thinking about safety. They haven't been in the workforce very long.
Right. Young workers are particularly at risk. Young people are attracted to the flexibility provided by employers such as DoorDash. But these are also the people who are least used to employment and have little experience with job hazards. Further work-related motor vehicle crashes are the leading cause of death for young people ages 16 to 24 in the U.S. We know that temps often do not receive sufficient training, do not have enough experience to protect themselves on the job site. With little or no job security, temps are reluctant to call attention to safety issues. They have a fear of getting replaced or losing their jobs. Compared to permanent employees, temporary workers tend to be younger, less educated, and disproportionately consist of minority workers, many of whom might be immigrant workers. Immigrant workers in particular frequently experience retaliation. You know, they have fear of retaliation if they speak up about safety or other workplace rights. Unfortunately, vulnerable workers not covered under OSHA, one group are domestic workers, and many staffing agencies seek household domestic workers for private homes.
Well, so what is your advice to people working in the gig economy?
Well, temp workers need to know if they have a right to a written job order, such as is required in Massachusetts and in Illinois, which provides them essential information about their wages, benefits, workers' comp provider, et cetera. It's also important that temp workers know that their temp agency is responsible for workers' compensation if they are injured, and that both the worksite employer and temp agency have shared responsibilities for their safety. If they have concerns about their rights, they are most vulnerable to retaliation, so they should turn to a KOSH group or workers' center to take action, ideally with coworkers.
That's Jessica Martinez, co-executive director of the National Council for Occupational Safety and Health. They're very concerned about what's happening in the gig economy, more and more people working in it, but without benefits and coverage that other workers enjoy. Jessica, it's an ongoing conversation. Thanks so much for jumping in today.
Thank you, Robin.